taken care of.
Amen.
Sheila and Helen Jones. All that y'all bring, we have enough for those children through the end of the school year. That's what was donated back to us because of your generous spirit.
Amen.
And like I said, I do have a few other things that we still need to bring. And one of the things I'm going to add to the list for the winter, I thought about and I did go and talk to the school counselor about this, is adding oatmeal. You know, for the winter, they need something hot. So I will be adding oatmeal, and I know someone will sign up for oatmeal between now and the end of the year. So thank y'all for everything that y'all have done for this program. What a blessing you have been.
Amen.
Yeah, just like I say, just keep in mind tonight, if you don't have what you call it, like I say, that's all we're going to have. It starts at 6 o'clock, then we're going to go have a fellowship after.
Amen.
Just keep that in mind also. And there was something else on here I was going to mention. Oh, I know it wasn't on the sheet here, but we're having Star Manor today, too, where we go to the assisted living nursing home. And be sure anybody can come be a part of that. We're going to go up there and we're going to sing a few songs, not a whole lot.
But, save your voice.
Yeah, we're going to save our voices a little bit. But if you want to come be a part of that, just the fellowship is really nice. So if it's where you can put it in your plans today at 3 o'clock, come with us and join us at the Star Manor Assisted Living Nursing Home. You'll have a good time, I guarantee. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Brother Danny Kemp.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Lee? Sure. 22 years?
Yeah. Best 22.
I was, this morning I said, I've got to get these cards ready, so I started filling out Christmas cards. Where are all the religious cards? And why was I there sleeping? I got these National Wildlife and cute little puppy birds. Where? And then as I was getting dressed, I said, Dave, I'm going to have to get some more. I got to get some more religious Christmas cards. You know, the deer, we've got some in a container upstairs here. I'll get them later. Oh, okay. So a bunch of, I'll be giving out a lot of National Wildlife cards, but the meaning is clear that it's for the celebration of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
What that means.
Very sweet.
And speaking of miracles, I don't know if you heard on the radio or the news about the anonymous people that have been paying off layaways at Kmart's, and I think they said some Walmart's, that people that had layaways for the kids, specifically for toys for kids, I believe it was.
Wow.
That anonymous people have been going, either calling or going there and saying, what you got? This, somebody needs to pay off. Here, take this. And they've been paying it off, and that's very kind.
That is
really good. That's great. Okay, let us grab our hymn book and turn to page 103 and stand and sing. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's now turn to page 100, and on the last verse, we will ask the usher to come for the morning offering. Angels, we have heard on high.
Thank you. name.
What a tremendous blessing that the Lord has given us another opportunity as we continue back into a series that we have on discipline, the blessings of God. Each one of us have gifts for our discipline that the Lord gives us. And today, one of the greatest gifts that we can ever receive out of the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I've only got this one slide. It's got the scripture on it, and that's it. And I'm going to start with this scripture and end with this scripture. And you say, what do you mean by that? I'm actually going to go down to probably the 22nd verse, or I say I'm going to attempt to. You hear the frog in my voice today. I started this morning. And, I thank God for His wonderful Word. We're going to be talking all the way down probably about from verse 16 to verse 22. But the main verse that I want you to focus on is the one that I have up on the screen. And that is verse 16 this morning. What a tremendous blessing. I thank God for each and every one that's dedicated, for those that have been giving, for the cause of, for the, those that are hungry, and the donations that have been given. I thank God for a local company as well that donated money to through the church to take care of food. For my goodness, probably next several months, I guess. It's what a blessing that I thank for our community, those that are doing to help many need during this time of the year. Many are struggling, many are hurting during this time, even though that some people still are unaffected. But this morning, I want to continue on our series, Gifts for Our Discipline. Today, the discipline, the gift of truth. I thank God this is one of the greatest gifts that we can ever be given today, is that you are taking the gift of the truth and sharing it with somebody. It's something funny. We have some cabbage plants, and they're always kind of competing with me to try to give me something. It's almost like they're trying to win me over to them. And Lord, I guess I'm going to do the same thing to them, you know, because that's what we do. But we're always doing that. But as far as friends, we're great friends. And they're always trying to, I'm sure she was thinking, oh man, I'm sure he's wrong when I was talking about the truth. And I was thinking the same thing too. I said, that Catholicism and how long that it's been going on. But I thank God today as we begin to look at the discipline of the gift of truth, what are we doing with that gift? What are we doing to take that gift and to share the truth of God's Word with those that are around us today? So many of us today have a responsibility to take that truth to those ones that we know. And the gift is one of the greatest ways. I had a thought, and I thought, Lord, I'm going to jump to it. Sometimes I do that. I get to thinking about something that I wrote down and want to jump to that. Amen. It don't have to be in the order I put it down. I want it in the order God wants it. But I think God gifts is something that sometimes it, when you present it to somebody, it doesn't cost you anything. Somebody might have to get in line, Brother Howard. They may have to stand, and they've got to wrap it. All we've got to do is receive it. And I thank God that is one of the greatest gifts that you can present to somebody this Christmas. And that is the gift of the truth, the revelation of the gospel. And I thank God there was a little boy, I was pushing my pages over before I wrote that down. I thank God it was a little boy a few Christmases ago, and he was very, very persistent at that age. And he kept on telling his dad back in October, back in November. Finally, it was decent. I want to watch, Dad. I want to watch. And finally, it got so bad that Dad said, now, son, I don't want you to ever, ever bring that up again. I mean, I've heard it enough. We hear you, you know. Don't be bringing it up again about, you know, I want to watch. And so he said, okay. So finally, December rolled around, and it was right close to Christmas. And he said, Dad, can I say a blessing tonight? Yeah, sure. Well, Dad, can I read some scripture tonight as well? Well, sure you can. And so finally, they sat down, and he began to read this scripture at the dinner table out of Mark 13:37. And this is what it says. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch.
you know. You didn't want to watch, you didn't want to watch. And so I don't know if he got that, okay? But I guarantee you, he was very persistent to get his point across. Amen. And so I thank God, I hope and pray that this Christmas, every one of us will get that point across. It's the truth. It's the gift of Christmas that every one of us have today. Will you stand this morning as we honor the reading of God's Word this morning? The 16th verse of the first chapter of the book of Romans, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greeks." You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your truth. And I pray, God, may we take that truth of the gospel to every possible friend, to everyone that we come in contact with. May we tell them the truth. May we be a good friend to them. May we live it in front of them, because that is the best gift that we can ever not only receive, but also give to someone else. And so, Father, help us to be able to share the gospel truth, your revelation, your story of your birth. You were born to die. You took upon every one of us all of our sins. You became our sacrifice. And I pray this morning, Father, Lord, that as those that have been faithful this morning, that have come out of your house, I pray that you will bless them this morning richly. Many that have got bad news, Lord, I pray, may your joy overfill them and hold them up as they get through and adjust and make decisions to deal with what has just occurred. Father, this Christmas, we wish your blessings upon each and every member, each and every part of the family here at Peoples United Baptist Church. And I pray that may you help us not only to receive the truth, continue to learn more about it, open our hearts and minds this morning, and give us a greater challenge to go forth and to give this gift to as many as we can in these days that we have today. And Lord, especially, may you help us to give this gift of the truth to that person that doesn't know you. They don't know anything about your love, your peace, your joy, your eternal security. And I pray this morning, help us, Father, to speak through us to them how wonderful your gospel truth is, to be a part of the family of God, to be saved by your marvelous grace this day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I thank God today as we begin to look at the verses this morning. I'm going to talk about probably a couple of them, and I'm not sure as I go through, but you know, I don't know, I said something last Sunday that the worst thing that could ever happen to any one of us is that we would never have no difficult times. I said that last Sunday, and I'm going to say that again. You say, why is that? Because then you get to thinking that everything that you have and everything that we receive, we earned it or we got it ourselves. And so when there's difficulties, that's when you start relying more so on a power that is higher than ours. And that is the Lord Himself. And so I thank God, without those difficulties in life, without those trials, we just sail right on through. We probably wouldn't give the Lord the time of day. You knowing how that we are a lot of times, we get so busy. And so I thank God again. I want to open with that question. What are we doing with the truth? Because as we continue in this series, it's about priorities that are in our life. Life is God's gift to you, and what you do with it is your gift to Him. And so I thank God this morning, the most important gift that God ever brings into our lives is the truth of the gospel. I thank God that I got right in the truth concerning His Son. I was young, 1972, and you've heard me tell this before, but I got saved, but He knocked at my heart Sunday morning, but I waited till Sunday night. I was ashamed. I was afraid to go up in front of that crowd. But thank God that He come and knocked on my heart again Sunday night. And so ever since 1972, that's been the greatest truth that came into my life. And so there's no other matter that is more important or more of an eternal value today than the truth that God has revealed to each one of us today. And so I thank God. We open with the book of Romans. We open a rich wealth of, of, of material that's been given to us through the Holy Spirit of God by the Apostle Paul. And it's a book that describes how God's love is presenting Jesus to the world. You know? A book that describes the pagan Roman world and what they had, what they knew about God, and how they had rejected God. You see, they had rejected everything about Him time and time again. They had their own little gods. They had their little figurines. You saw the movie Gladiator. There's a lot of truth to that. He had his family and figurines. Right? You remember that movie? There's a lot of truth to that. They had their gods, and a lot of them were in figurines. And they also had houses throughout Rome that were of their gods of stone that they worshipped. There's a lot of truth to that research in that movie. That's right. And so Rome, as Paul was writing that letter to them, man, he was describing what was going on in the Roman world and what was happening. I want you to think about the truth with me today. We look back to the Roman world and we read God's word and we're looking and we ask the question, what are we doing with the truth concerning His Son? Are you treating it with value? Are you treating it as the greatest investment that you will ever be given to you today? Are you treating it like someone says, basically, you know, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to listen to the truth. And they turn, they walk away from it. But you know what? You got to continue living in front of them. That's the only way that they see the truth is in your life. It took me, through the years of the people I've worked with, sometimes, I thank God that it didn't take long for some of them. But there were some of them 5 and 6 years that we just kept living the truth. We just kept living the truth. And you know what? After the 5th year or the 6th year, they got saved. You say, man, if that persisted, you better believe it. Because you want to live the truth in front of somebody. And my first point here tonight, this morning, is basically in our text, in verses 18 all the way up through from 16 to verse 21. This is a story that Paul was writing about the Roman world, and it was about the truth that was being revealed. I thank God, and as we look at verse 18 this morning, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed. Notice that. The truth has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in righteousness. So we say that the truth has been revealed. It's been made known to us. And so I thank God, every one of us, as we look this morning, it goes on, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. Every one of us, no matter who you are, God has put something inside of you that is a desire. And I want to tell you something. You might worship a rock, but there is a desire that when God created you and He revealed the truth, He put a desire in every one of our lives today that you're going to worship something. You may worship yourself. You may worship sexuality. You may worship something in the world, but you're going to worship something. You know, I'm going to tell you, something in nature. It may be Islam. It may be basically a tag of religion, as so-called. But I'm going to tell you today, truth has been revealed. And it's been revealed in 5 different ways that we can say. First of all, as we look at the different ways, history has been, and there's 2 really big things that stand out about history, the Garden of Eden and Noah's Day, through history that we have. I thank God in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, the Bible says that the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden, dressed it to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in it the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Every one of us were created to be to reveal the truth to us. And so through the very beginning of history, through the Garden of Eden, even with Noah's day, and Noah, Genesis 7:1, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. 2 Peter 2:5 goes back in the New Testament and reiterates, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah and his family represented in that ark the truth, the entire population. You know what had happened? He revealed the truth back then, and that was one time the entire world knew the truth, but they refused it. They refused it. So here in history, we see how that had been revealed, amen. Also, we see it then in through the inspired Word of God. The truth has been revealed to every one of us today. I thank God as He tells us, look down in verses 1, 2, and 3. And we see the inspired Scriptures because Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning the Son of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was made the seed of David according to the flesh. The inspired Scriptures, amen, as we see through the Bible, the Word has been speaking to the world time and time again. You know, throughout the world, there's been many Bible-burning lunches. I could tell you several, but let me put this on the down. Probably back in August of 2000 this year, Iran launched a Bible-burning campaign. You want to launch a Quran? Boy, they all got fired up about that, but they do the same thing to our Bible. They burn it. They have them a big old burn it. The Iranian authorities, man, I'm going to tell you, there's so many things that happened. The Bible was outlawed in 1963. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, that was when basically we let a lot of things change, where we refused to have it come into the classrooms in a sense. You know, a lot of things changed in 1963. Divorce rates went up. Break up the family units. Acceptance of the homosexuality. Teenage pregnancy. Murder. The babies. The crime rate. All when they left the Word of God and put it out in 1963. And man, I'm going to tell you, of all the things that we go through time and time again, it goes all the way back to the Dark Ages of the 500s, 1500s, and it goes back to the Catholic Church, man. If you had a Bible, and you didn't have a license to be sold that Bible by the church, then you were given, there was a time limit, you were given 8 days that you better give it up. Later on, at first they just go ahead and put you in jail, and then people were killed. And you remember, Huss was burned at the stake for carrying on Whitefield's Bibles, and they stacked Bibles around the bonfire and lit him up with it. Those are the different times in life of the Dark Ages. Rome burned Bibles years ago in the 1500s. Now, let me tell you something. If you didn't know this, in October 6, 1998, marks 462 years since another Christian was burned at the stake for his translation and distribution of the English Bible. That's right. October 6, 1998 marked 462 years since they'd been a Christian burned for their belief. And so today, we got history, we got the inspired Word, Scriptures, we got the life of Jesus Christ. We have the greatest fact that there is today. In Romans 1:3, that speaks of Jesus being the core message of the Old Testament concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the core message right there. Of the Old Testament, praise God, which was made, it's signifying here, the entrance into a new condition of the seed of David through the family of David, according to the flesh, the incarnation by God becoming man. And that's Christmas today. That's what Christmas is all about. And I thank God. Christmas is what? 8 days away? 8 days away, and it took 6 years for us to have Christmas on Sunday. So we're having it on Sunday. We ain't going to have no Sunday school, but if you're at home and you want to come by, it ain't going to be a long service. But we're going to worship the Lord, amen. We're going to live. What a great gift that we have, thank God. Christmas is God's way of getting the world's attention today. Hallelujah. His way of revealing Himself to a dying world, praise God. And He's still been trying to do this, amen, ever since. It's all about His forgiveness, and it's the way of the cross, amen, that He's given us today. I don't care. It's all what Jesus did on that cross. You know what? I can't forgive your sins. There ain't no pope, there ain't another preacher that can forgive your sins. I can't baptize you enough in the baptism till you're wrinkled enough to forgive you of your sins. But Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was born to die. And because of that, He's the only one that can forgive us of our sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, thank God. Jesus, what God was revealed to us, thank God. Hey, I tell you, God says, I'm trying to get your attention, world. I'm trying. I tried in the garden to get your attention. I tried through my Old Testament prophets to get your attention. I tried by sending my own Son, the only begotten Son who shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. And so it's through history It's through the inspired scriptures. It's through Jesus Christ. Hopefully, it is in our conscience and into our heart. It goes back to what I said earlier. God created you with a desire, with a conscience. I don't care if you're an atheist. You ain't going to get off on that one, brother and sister. It will not work because God has put a conscience, a heart in every born again. I tell you, every person across this nation today, there is a conscience. And I thank God, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Let me read it again. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. It speaks of the objective of the knowledge of God as a creator. Hallelujah. He showed it unto them. And he means, he says, my signature is upon you and it's upon creation. If you can't look around and see that God, it took something mighty and powerful to create all the things that we have today. And so I thank God we got history, we got the inspired scriptures, we got Jesus Christ himself, we got a conscience, we got a heart, but the fifth thing that reveals the truth is creation itself. I thank God, he says in verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You know what that does? It goes back and explains verse 19. Look at it. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. It's explaining verse 19 that I read to you. Being understood by the things that are made. And I thank God creation demands a creator. Even his eternal power and Godhead so that they are without excuse. You see, no one can say, oh man, nobody. I didn't believe in God. Nobody told me about God. We stand here, every one of us. And I thank God, whether you're an atheist or what, or whether you believe all of the things that the poems and the songs that were wrote back the time when we wrote those, they said, well, man, you know, the Big Bang Theory, it started billions and billions of years later. And first of all, there was just a one-celled amoeba. And all of a sudden, billions of years ago, there was a fish. And then billions of years ago, that fish grew some legs. And billions of years ago, fish popped out of the ocean. Finally, billions of years ago, its tail fell off. Billions of years ago, it was a monkey. And finally, the monkey, all of a sudden, of all the things, it swung around. Finally, the monkey's tail fell off. And all of a sudden, it fell to the ground, and he was a professor at UGA. And so, you imagine? That's how they tell a story, amen. But there is a creator. There is a creator, amen. We've heard all those stories, amen. And all of those are their anti-God spirit that is out there today. And so I thank God we see what God has done. I mean, he's revealed himself through our history to you. And so I thank God, every one of us, as we look at the revealed truth. Secondly, we look at the truth that has been rejected. It has been rejected. When light is refused, it increases darkness. Every time, if you're here and you have rejected the truth, your light has become darker. I'm going to tell you. And so, when you refuse the message this morning, you refuse the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your family becomes darker to you. Your family history becomes darker. Your sin problems become deeper in your life. And whenever the light is refused, darkness increases. And so I'm telling you, when you reject the truth, first of all, you reject God knowingly. Look at verse 21. And it says, because that when they knew God, listen, they glorified him not as God. Understand that God's creation, they said, I'm gonna believe everything else but God. You know what I'm saying? So here, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They rejected God knowingly. Man is a conscience of an existence, but yet wickedly inclined to reject the knowledge of God. And so God created every one of us that we might bring glory to him and glory to God the Father. Amen. And so as we look at God Jesus, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of folks today, this just burns me. Sometimes we used to work in the carpentry, and then old Tim Arp, he's in heaven now, he said, man, you know what really burns me? And this is what he'd say. He said, a fire about this high. You know, he's all the time saying, you know, but I tell you, this is one of those things that really burns me. And basically, some of those folks out there that say, you know, I don't drive my dad's old Oldsmobile, and I sure don't go to my grandma's church. Can you imagine? They'll believe anything And everything out in the world, but they won't believe the truth of God is what I'm talking about. They reject the revealed truth of God this morning. And in the Bible, there was a man that ruled over Palestine in the beautiful Mediterranean in Caesarea. Most of y'all already know. I'm getting away when I said that. King Agrippa. Almost, Paul. Almost. You persuaded me to be a Christian. You see, he was a pagan worshiper. He worshiped those stone idols. He was a smart man. He listened to reason. Almost, Paul. You persuaded me to be a Christian. Acts 26. And so I thank God, every one of us today, Proverbs 14:12. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You reject God knowingly, but also in verses 22, we see that we replace God willingly. Because God has created all of us to have that desire to worship and to worship something today. And so I thank God, as we begin to look at verse 22, it tells us, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. In verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and the birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. It goes back to the movie, doesn't it, that we were talking about earlier. The little figurines and the Papillon God houses of the Romans. Paul was writing this letter. He was explaining this. And so here we see all of the things, because he said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They laid waste to all of the so-called wisdom, which is not of God. And so, Psalms 14:1, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Boy, I've ran into a lot of those folks. They replaced him with stone gods. They replaced him with nature. And so all the things that we see today, are the many things, the results of worshiping things that are in this world today, that they changed everything into a lie. Let me tell you something I saw in this chapter. In verse 24, in verse 26, and in verse 28. This is one of the saddest phrases that can be said. Let me show you what I'm talking about in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Listen to what it said. God also gave them up. Huh? That's verse 24. Look with me at verse 26. For this cause God gave them up. Does it sound familiar? Let me stop right there. Look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Three times in this chapter, I'd hate to have a title that God gave me up. He gave up on me. Now, sinner friend, if you're here, I'm going to tell you, that is a sad chapter to know that three times that He would give up on you, because He gave you the greatest gift. You ain't got to stand in no department store line. You ain't got to even wait on it to get right. It's the truth. It's the gospel. It's the revelation this morning. And I tell you, three times, I don't want to have to look at all of the repercussions of this. Because He's revealed Himself in the garden. He's revealed Himself to Noah. He's revealed Himself in the Scriptures through His Son that died on the cross of Calvary. And they have chose their idols and their sexuality, and they chose to be apart from Him. And all the things. Lady Gaga, let's hit something new to you here. Boy, she said that she was raised Catholic. She was in the Larry King interview about her religion. Basically, let me quote what she says and all the things that was going on in the conversation there. Here's a part of what she told King. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I'm very spiritual. I pray. At the same time, there isn't one religion that doesn't hate or speak against or be prejudiced against another racial group or religious group or sexual group. I guess you could say I'm a very religious woman who's confused about religion. Now, of course, you know Larry King and Wayne does, but later on, it goes down a little bit further. She said, I believe I'll go to heaven, but I suppose I could go either way, couldn't I? You know what? I wonder, has He put a spot that you're really convinced, 100% convinced that you know you're going to heaven this morning? She doesn't know what she believes. She doesn't know that she's going to heaven. And I'm going to tell you this morning, there is a revealed truth. And it brings me to my last point, and I'm closing with this. The truth is revealed, the truth that is rejected. But I thank God this, I'm closing with good news. And what did I tell you when I started? I started out with verse 16, but I'm ending with verse 16. And this is what it is. the truth that is received. Because there was a Roman soldier, a centurion, that said, truly, this must be the Son of the living God. Matthew 27:54. Truly, this was the Son of God. He was there. He saw what was happening, man, at the cross. Man, thank God, this was a description of the truth, the power, hallelujah. I thank God, he says, well, I'm not ashamed. If you don't have it, it's up on the screen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, right? For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know what? When you read this, church, I'm going to tell you how powerful this is. Because you can speak about the truth. Someone says, you know, well, hey, you know, Pilate, he was there too. When we're speaking about the truth to people about the Baptist Church, we're speaking about telling the gospel truth, the Son of One. And so I thank God, every one of us, the gospel is simply this: Jesus, God's Son. That is the greatest gift that can ever be presented as we close out this morning, each and every one of us. I thank God, who was Jesus? And what did he do for me? You know, I thank God, every one of us have something. But I thank God it was a description and it was a deliverance of the truth as well. Because this is what he said, unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That's the deliverance of the truth right there. The description was, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But look at this power that we have. It's a great power. The gospel is the description of what I'm talking about. But it's the power that comes to deliver us. That's the deliverance. We got the power. We may not realize we got it. We don't realize what we have as a gift among us today. But we have the power of God. That's what will deliver us. But the description of the gift is the gospel of Christ. So that is one of the greatest truths that we can accept. Every one of us today, as we close out this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. Sister Sheila, as you come to the piano, I thank God. Every one of us, you're not listening to a perfect pastor this morning. I've made so many mistakes, but I thank God for His forgiveness and His mercy and His power. And a lady by the name of Rose, she wrote, dear Abby, and she says, I'm 44 years old. And I'm looking for someone my age that doesn't have any habits. Dear Abby wrote back, says, good luck. So am I. I thank God. None of us are perfect in this world. But I'm going to tell you something. Whatever you've done, no matter what it is, the Lord can forgive you of it this morning. The Lord can take you all the way and wipe your slate clean as they start playing softly on the piano this morning. I want to challenge you. Are you saved today? You know, you say, well, I don't like all those religious words. They're not religious words. They're biblical words. I thank God, every one of us, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This morning, church, you can receive the greatest gift, the gift of the truth of his revealed gospel this morning. What are you doing with that truth? What are you doing with the truth concerning his Son? I thank God we have the revealed truth of his gift, the revelation of the gospel. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Every one of us today, as we close out, send a friend if you never remember asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart. He wants to reveal his truth to you this morning. Right where you're sitting at. Listen, I know that we want to try to do our own thing. But the only way that you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. The Bible teaches us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning, I hope and pray, not only at this service end, but as we close and go our separate ways. If it anything, come up and talk to me. Come up and share with me what you're going through this morning. You can get saved because God's truth has been revealed to each and every one of us. Father, this morning, Lord, as we challenge this church, those that are lost to repent and to ask Jesus to come in their heart of life. But also, Lord, the many Christians that are sitting here right now, that they're really not sure if he was to come back. They don't know without a shadow of a doubt if they're going to heaven. This morning, Lord, you revealed the truth to us. And I pray that right where they're sitting at, they can ask the Lord, Lord, reassure me that I know that I'm saved and everything is all right. because you have my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's stand our feet.
If our service blessed you and your family today, send us your emails to People's Valley Baptist Church at pdbc47@yahoo.com. That's pdbc47@yahoo.com. Remember, Jesus is the heart of the message.